Shan, tell me a story.
What do you want to know? What story? What? Give me a genre.
Tell me a story of a happy time. Or, wait, let me get more specific.
Mm-hmm.
Tell me about a time you went ice skating.
Those are all very sad stories where I ended up crying.
You know, I don't remember any of my fun ice skating times.
Ice skating's not, it's because ice skating is not fun unless you're good at it. Mm-hmm. And the learning curve is very, very steep. So you have to want to be able to be good at it before it can be fun. And I will never understand why so many of my high school friends were like, hey, let's go down and do some ice skating at the hockey rink. No, let's not do that. Let's walk into the forest where there are bears. That sounds like more fun.
It does sound like more fun. I choose bear
walk. I choose bears over ice skating every time.
Mm-hmm.
Should we talk about how long we've been gone or should we just start the podcast?
Hello and welcome to Vintage Lesbians, a personal journey of friendship and queer history where we try to set the record a little less straight. I'm Allison, one of your hosts.
And I'm your other host, Shan.
And we're back, baby. So
let's not address the fact that we've been gone at all, because I feel like it's getting repetitive.
Yeah.
To our listeners to hear about our busy lives and mental health issues.
Anyone who cares about us being away already knows that we are away. And anyone who's casually listening to this probably doesn't care.
Yeah. And like, we have to do real work before we can record.
Which is rude.
If
you ask me.
That's really like the barrier to getting a podcast out. Because if it were just, hey, let's sit down and record.
Mm-hmm.
Any old time, no prep work needed, we probably would still be on a variable schedule because of how busy and fraught our lives are.
But if we had limited prep work or prep work that was like a little bit easier, that didn't require as much thinking on our half, and also mm-hmm. didn't have like actual work and responsibilities and stuff,
mm-hmm.
I feel like we would be super, well, we probably would still not do it sometimes.
Well, yeah, because everybody needs a break sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
Go on vacation or take a nap.
My main two hobbies, vacations and naps.
Yeah, you're always talking about your naps and your vacations.
Yeah. All of my spare money.
That is vaguely true. You did travel a lot this year.
I guess
just,
I did.
Just this past weekend, in fact. You jaunted up to Canada for a mere day.
I did do that.
How was your jaunt?
It was great. I got to bring some new friends up there. I got to see some old friends.
That's good.
It was wonderful. I experienced nature. I got rained on.
Ooh, you got rained on.
I purchased candy that is not available in these United States. So,
and you brought me some, which was very good.
A standard Vancouver trip, pretty much.
Yep. Pretty good.
Well, Shan, it's Oscar season.
Oh God, who gives a shit? I'm so sorry. I like, every time I find out that the Oscars are still a thing, I get a little surprised. At this point, it just seems like they're so culturally inept
mm-hmm.
that they just need to get shut down for safety reasons.
Yeah, that's fair. But the glitz and glamour.
Yeah.
The awards.
I hear Little Women got some nominations, right?
Yeah.
Did they win some? Have the Oscars happened already?
I don't even know. As of taping, or not, what's the opposite of recording? As of release? Who can say? Because I don't know when it's going to be. Sometime in
February.
That's fair.
This is present day Shan, signing in for a moment just to say that it's been a full calendar year and then some. I don't know why this never got released, but you know, enjoy.
So, yes, Little Women did get a couple, and I saw Little Women.
Did you like it?
I liked it a whole lot.
Nice.
It was very good. So I went to see it with my friend Joanne, shout out, and when we left, we discussed a lot of what we found to be queer subtext within the text, which Little Women has been known for, generally. When we got home from our various things, my friend Joanne sent me a text with a quote from Louisa May Alcott, who wrote Little Women. Do you want to know what Louisa May Alcott said
I would love to know what Louisa May Alcott said.
She said, "I am more than half persuaded that I am a man's soul put by some freak of nature into a woman's body because I have fallen in love with so many pretty girls and never the least bit once with any man." Now, if you ask a historian, they'll say, ladies, am I right?
That's really gay.
It's pretty gay is the thing. The times were different.
She was gay.
That she loved women.
She said, right there. "I've never fallen in love with a man, but I've fallen in love with many pretty girls."
Mm-hmm.
That's gay, y'all. It's pretty gay.
So we decided to do an episode on her.
Yeah.
It checks out. Now I'm going to scroll back up to the top. I left my mouse at home by accident, and it's a real burden.
Hey, Allison.
Yes, dear.
Do you really think that I do not have any spare USB mice in this house full of technology?
I think I'm good now, though. Is the thing. If I need
Are you
it.
Doing more scrolling, though?
I mean, I'll just be doing beep, 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 and won't be going and back to the top.
Yes, but every time you nudge that, it has a propensity to kind of squeak.
All right.
The laptop tray, so I would rather
just run and grab you. It's going to be one of those little mousey mice.
Let me get you a little mouse.
And while Shan, when you listen to this later, you're going to find out that I just said your name wrong, and I apologize for that. While Shan's away, I could say things. I don't know. I don't know where I was going to go with that. I was going to do a joke, but instead I just didn't. And to keep this safe, I shall swallow it.
Do not swallow the dongle. Dongle's a funny word.
It is, because it has the word dong in it.
It sure does.
And then arguably one of the funniest of suffixes.
Oh.
Oh.
Anyway, so Louisa May Alcott was a gay, you say?
Yes. Now let's talk about her entire life. Here's a fact about Louisa May Alcott that you may not know.
She's gay?
She's gay.
Whoa.
Also, she's a Sagittarius.
Oh, shit.
That's right. She was born on November 29th, 1832. Seamless segue into talking about her life. She was born in Germantown, Pennsylvania, to her parents, Abigail May, who went by Abba, and Amos Bronson Alcott, who went by Bronson.
Because Amos is a hard name to shout across a room.
Mm-hmm. Amos! Yeah, you can do
Amos.
It.
Amos!
It does, it doesn't sound good. What did he go by?
Bronson.
Bronson! Oh, that's
got power.
I liked shouting Bronson. Okay, I'm here.
Abba was super cool. Her mama, her mom, her mother.
Mama Abba.
She was one of the first full-time paid social workers in America.
Oh, shit. That's awesome.
Yeah. I studied social work. And so it's a fun fact for me also.
How long have there been social workers and how long have they been paid?
Let me tell you. I definitely used to know the answer to that. But now it's been a few years since I completed my bachelor's, and I've forgotten all the history.
You did history of social work?
You have to learn some background theory to introduction to social work.
That makes sense.
Started with almshouses,
I just, like,
possibly.
I didn't ever, when I was getting my degree, I never learned, like, when we started paying teachers.
Mm. Yes.
Or
nannies.
Social
work was one of the first, I guess teachers and nannies also, but one of the first jobs that was acceptable for women to mm-hmm. do to help them maintain.
I think those were the three original ones, actually.
Yeah. Hey, nursing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Nursing, too.
Bronson, her father.
Bronson.
Was an educator and a transcendentalist.
What is a transcendentalist?
So, in this sense, I'm using it as a member of the transcendentalist scene in Boston in the 1830s.
Okay.
So think Ralph Waldo Emerson, Nathaniel Hawthorne, Henry David Thoreau. I don't know if Hawthorne was actually transcendentalist, but they were buddies.
Those are some names I know.
Yeah. They were also friends with Bronson.
Bronson.
Yes.
Bronson and Bronson?
They were friends.
I'm sorry. I'm back and I'm here. I'm so sorry.
She also had three sisters named Anna, Elizabeth, and May.
Hey. Mm-hmm. I recognize some of those names.
Mm-hmm. When she wrote Little Women, spoilers for Little Women, by the way. Not the movie. We're not going to really talk about any spoilers for the new movie.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But the book that's been out for 150 years. That's yep. fair game.
Yep, yep, yep. So, that is fair game.
In Little Women was a mostly autobiographical book. The sisters would be renamed. Anna would become Meg. Elizabeth, who went by Lizzie, would become Elizabeth, who went by Beth. And then May would become Amy, which is May, but spelled differently.
But spelled different, yeah.
When Louisa was two, her family moved to Boston for her father to start an experimental educational school called the Temple School. It was actually a pretty legit school. One of his number one main assistant educator was Elizabeth Peabody, who was way better at education than he was. But she was still the assistant because of sexism.
Mm-hmm.
But she was the person who brought kindergartens into America. So pretty influential. Oh, nice. It was unique from other schools in the era in that there was no corporal punishment allowed whatsoever.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah.
Because you shouldn't hit children is the
really
thing.
You really shouldn't.
Ever.
Yeah. But there were also some major controversies. For example, they spoke frankly and casually about the Bible and how it might relate to the kids in their own lives and got accused of being blasphemous.
You'd think that people would have been happy that they were talking to the children about the Bible, mm-hmm. but I guess you're only allowed to talk about it with reverence and deference. Mm-hmm. And
but the other controversy I think you'll really agree was too far.
Mm-hmm.
They talked about circumcision from a medical standpoint, and they discussed the possibility of birth control. So it was a little obscene.
That is their a little sex obscene. Ed,
mm-mm. You can't let the kids know like what's going on with their bodies.
No. You have to let them be completely ignorant and in the dark and struggle through hormones and groping and terrifying urges and just be scared and bad at it. Because that's what we want to do for our kids, is just set them up to be terrified and bad at things.
Yeah. And if they don't have a healthy dose of shame in their lives, then are they going to be good people?
All the best people are full of shame. It's not true. It's not true.
That school folded 7 years in when Louisa was nine. And her father immediately started the Fruitlands Utopian Community.
Fruitlands.
Yes.
Not utopian fruit lance, like a community. Lance made of fruit.
Right. The Fruitlands Community was a utopian community that, you know, strived for a perfect existence, etc. Residents of Fruitlands ate no animal substances. They only drank water. They bathed in unheated water. And they would not...
Even in the winter?
Well, it folded before the winter, so...
Oh, dear.
They wouldn't let artificial light prolong dark hours or cost them any brightness in the morning. Sounds pretentious as heck.
Jesus. Yeah.
All property was held communally. No animal labor was allowed to be used. And they ate only vegetables that grew upward, not like potatoes, which would not purify the spirit quite as much.
Wow.
Yeah. And they also weren't allowed to hire any additional labor as well. It all had to be natural. But
mean it all had to be natural? So hiring help is unnatural? That's literally the first thing we started doing when we figured out how to barter.
Mm-hmm. But they wanted to, it felt like there were a bunch of like rich men trying to be like one with the earth, you know. And so we have to do everything ourselves.
Or control other people.
Mm-hmm.
Because I guarantee you, the people who were not following that were the men and the people leading it and the people telling the women and children what to do. Because that's always what this is all like. Every fucking cult and commune and bad thing, like the church, the Catholic Church mainly, has been about controlling and subjugating
Catholic.
Women.
Shan could say that.
I'm Catholic. I can say that. Fuck the Pope. Yes, including this one. They all are all terrible, no matter how many feet they wash.
Even the young Pope?
Even especially the young Pope.
Have you ever seen young
Fuck
Pope?
Jude Law. No, I don't know.
So the men of the commune would spend their days naked walking around philosophizing, and the women did all of the work, but they weren't able to grow enough food to get them to winter, obviously, mm-hmm. and so it closed pretty soon after it began.
Maybe
7 months.
If fully half of the population of the commune had contributed at all, they would have had enough food for the winter. Philosophize on that, dickweeds. I'm mad at people from 200 years ago, and I'm okay with it.
You know who else was mad?
Louisa May Alcott?
Her mom.
Ooh.
She wrote, I'm prone to indulge in an occasional hilarity, but it seemed frowned upon into some still quiet and peaceless order, and I am almost suffocated in this atmosphere of restriction and form. And she grew increasingly frustrated about the inequality between the sexes throughout this whole experience.
As you would.
Yeah. Bronson never really recognized the sacrifice and endless work that both she and her young daughters did on a daily basis.
Well, no, because he was just enjoying himself and he didn't have to consider anything from their point of view.
Right.
If you're having a real good time and your significant other just always seems kind of grumpy, but you think your life is fucking great, sit down and ask them what you have not been doing.
Mm-hmm.
That's not a joke. I'm staring right at you, microphone. And it's not a joke.
After Fruitlands failed, which was on the heels of the temple school failing, Bronson sunk into a deep depression because he couldn't provide for his family. And he had to be the one who did it because he is the man.
Even though his wife and young children had been providing for him for the entire year.
Mm-hmm. They moved in with a nearby farmer immediately afterwards, and Bronson refused to eat for days.
What a drama queen.
When my work is a failure. Eventually, their friend Ralph Waldo Emerson bailed them out, and they moved to Concord to live near him.
Nice going, Ralph.
Bronson was never the same after that, and he never tried to provide for his family again.
What?
Mm-hmm. He would sometimes stage a Socratic conversation.
Okay, I straight up hate this dude now, and I don't want to hear any more about him, genuinely. He sucks.
Yeah.
Tell me about Louisa and her mom and her sisters.
Well, that is actually the last part about him in entire thing. So, like, the...
What a fucking asshole.
Right? So the family lived in more or less poverty or close to poverty for the rest of their days.
Because one of the two people who was supposed to be providing for the family, if I'm remembering correctly, just straight up fucking wouldn't.
Mm-hmm.
Well, because he was sad because his dreams didn't come true and he wanted to make money doing his dreams. And if he can't make money doing his dreams, then he may as well just be a little shithead and make his wife and young children do all the work and feed him.
Yeah.
Fuck that guy.
They survived.
Honestly.
Because every woman and girl in that family took on housework and sewing and that kind of thing. Jo became a teacher really early on and started selling her writing really early on.
Because they had no choice and they didn't get a childhood because their dad fucking sucked.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. That's the whole reason.
Yeah. Throughout her entire career, Louisa May Alcott always tried to write popular writings instead of focusing merely on the art of it all. Because,
you know,
she was like, I'm going to make sure that we don't starve.
Do not starve. Keep making money. Always. B. Writing books that sell.
A. B. W. B. T. S. That old saying.
You know how it goes.
Mm-hmm.
You know the style.
One of her early stories was written after she became a governess to teach some kid for a little while.
Mm-hmm.
She wrote an essay called How I Went Out to Service, and the publisher rejected her work, saying, stick to your teaching, Miss Alcott, you can't write.
Ugh. What a dick.
A thing that the Alcott family did right was that they were staunch abolitionists and they were station masters for the Underground Railroad in at least one of their homes.
That's good. Maybe he did some work on that. I'm gonna pretend that he was a nice man in that way,
mm-hmm.
and instead of making money, gave his time to the Underground Railroad and ending slavery.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause that's the only way I'm going to stop being angry right now.
It's probably mostly ABBA.
God damn it.
I said one of their homes because they moved a lot, not because they owned multiple homes.
I figured because of the poverty part.
Mm-hmm. Louisa talks about her childhood saying, no boy could be my friend until I had beaten him in a race and no girl if she refused to climb trees or leap fences. She was also very close with the Emerson family growing up.
Of the Ralph Waldo Emersons?
The very same.
Oh.
So
well, that makes sense considering that that dude bailed them out.
Yes. She took care of his daughter Ella and wrote fairy tale stories for her and eventually published those stories in a book called Flower Fables when she was 22.
Oh, that's so nice.
She also frequently borrowed from their massive library.
Ooh, I love a massive library. I love when a girl and her mentor bond over a massive library.
Right? It's the dream.
You know
the number one fantasy.
You know what tied every single Tamara Pierce book together? Massive libraries.
there were massive libraries quite frequently.
Quite frequently, there were massive libraries in those books.
And even if not explicitly stated, it was implied that they could find a book about something.
Yeah. Man, what great worlds.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, back to this one. Aw, damn.
Aw.
I don't like it.
By 1857, when Louisa was 24 years old, she was deeply depressed and even contemplated suicide for a minute.
Mm.
She couldn't find work and she couldn't sell her words.
And it's hard to be alive when you can't survive. Yep.
Mm-hmm. Which, once again, proves to the point that I was talking about.
You shouldn't give up on your dreams. Yes.
Your dreams. Hang in there, bucko.
You can do it.
Punched you on the chin, but in a nice way.
Don't be like Bronson.
Be like
Louisa.
Louisa. I wish it rhymed. Don't be a
Johnson and be like Bronson. I don't know.
The next year, the family moved into the Orchard House, which is the one that Little Women was based on and is still known as, like, her
the Louisa May Alcott house.
Yes. Her older sister fell in love with a man named John Pratt, who was an actor, and mm-hmm. they got engaged.
Mm-hmm.
And Lizzie contracted scarlet fever and died.
Mm. That's
a big year for them. Very sad year. Which you will also recognize was also part in Little Women.
So it was.
In the 60s, the Civil War broke out and Louisa joined the Union forces as a nurse.
Good for her.
When Alcott left to do her stint of nursing, her father said that he was sending his only son to war because she was very masculine, you see.
Mm-hmm.
She served 6 weeks and then she contracted typhoid became ill. She did recover, but she dealt with chronic illness for the rest of her life. And in the olden days, they cured typhoid with a lot of mercury.
So a little bit of brain damage
mm-hmm.
as well.
Or it may have been an autoimmune disease that was flared out by the mercury. We don't know which one.
Either way, something. They put mercury into a human body and it does cause brain damage is the thing.
That is true.
You shouldn't
do it.
Put it near you.
Thank
There's
PSA.
A reason the Hatter was mad, you know?
Mm-hmm. Because of all that mercury.
Because of all the mercury he rubbed on hats.
But his hats, they looked
so
great.
Shiny. They were such shiny hats.
Mm-hmm. But he didn't go mad.
But he did go crazy because of it.
While she was a nurse in the war,
mm-hmm.
she wrote lots of letters home about her experiences. When she came home, she revised those letters and published them in a newspaper in Boston and then as a standalone collection called Hospital Sketches.
Ah.
And that's the first... It was the first work of hers that actually was a big hit and was noted by critics for her observations, humor, and eloquence, and kind of jump-started her popular writing career.
So gave her a name in the mm-hmm. publishing business.
Yes. But
I don't know why I said that like that.
In the publishing business.
Or the writing business. Because she wasn't a pup.
She
you
worked
know
with
what?
Publishing.
I know how things work, and I'm smart.
Yeah.
So...
And if either of us doesn't know something, we can cut it out and people won't have to know. She mostly started to write sensational pulp fiction novels under the pen name A.M. Barnard.
Because it sounds masculine and because pulp fiction novels sold well?
Yes. And she also changed her name because she wanted to write about spies and drugs and murders.
Ooh, you can't do that when your name is Louisa.
Yes. Not proper for a young lady. All of her stories were notable in that they all featured very strong and smart women.
Hell yeah, they did.
And they featured names like Pauline's Passion and Punishment.
I love a good alliteration.
She sold that for $100, which is about what you would get if you sold it to a magazine nowadays.
Hmm.
Yeah. It's 200 years later.
Amazing.
Louisa's publisher began asking for stories for girls. And she was not into it because she did not like super feminine gushy stuff because they didn't let girls have nice things back then.
No, they didn't. Girls had to be super feminine and super passive.
Yeah. Sense of humor? No.
I can understand, given that the strong male figure in her life, her father, tried two things and then gave up for fucking ever, she doesn't know what a strong male character would be. Like, the strongest people in her life were her sisters and her mother. Of mm-hmm. course she's going to write about strong women.
Absolutely.
She only knows strong women. She is a strong woman. You can't write weak bullshit when it's not true to who you are. That's just, like, I totally get that. And I applaud her. And I assume that she cares what I think.
I think she would. Here, here, Louisa. She offered to write some fairy tales, but the publisher wanted something a little more down to earth. At the same time, Louisa's father, Bronson, who you may remember.
From before.
Yes, from before. He wanted to publish a book of philosophy, and the publisher said, I'm only going to publish this book of philosophy if your daughter writes me a story for girls. And so she was like, yes, father, I guess I care about you. I will try to write a book.
I hate it. I hate it. She's a good and kind daughter, but her father deserved nothing.
In May 1868, she wrote an entry in her journal saying that her publisher wants a girl story. And I begin, little woman. I plod away, though I don't enjoy this sort of thing. Never liked girls or knew many, except my sisters. But our queer plays and experiences may prove interesting, though I doubt it. Her publisher called it dull, and she said, yes, I agree, it is dull. But then he gave it to some young girls to test read, and they absolutely loved it. So he agreed to publish it. And it was, unsurprisingly perhaps, a huge success. Its first printing, which was 2,000 books, sold out in just 2 weeks.
Wow.
In the 1800s.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
In 2 weeks?
In 2 weeks.
In the 1800s.
In the 1800s.
The 19th century.
2,000 books.
Wow.
Yeah. After the success of Little Women, fans who connected with the book traveled to Concord to see her. 1 month, she had 100 strangers knock on the door of her home. And so she started to pretend to be a servant to answer the front door and then be like, oh, no, they aren't here. Sorry, you have to leave.
So people could just find people's homes?
Mm-hmm.
That's a little messed up.
Mm-hmm. I never really grasped like how much of a hit it was back then, though. I knew it was popular.
Me neither. I genuinely didn't know that it was popular when it was published. I certainly didn't know it was this popular because this is wild. But like, of course it was. It was the only book that existed for girls that actually depicted them and not bullshit that they put in every other book.
And we know now that there are classics from even before then where there were strong female characters.
Yes.
But they weren't for young girls like Little Women was.
And they weren't accessible.
Right. So she followed Little Women with Good Wives, which is now part two of the book. So you know how there's like a book when they're younger or in the movie and stuff. There's a younger part and then an older part. The older part, part two, takes place
later. Gotcha. Makes sense. Mm-hmm. Makes sense.
My next note says, talk about Jo March's character and queerness. Are you familiar with Little Women? We talked about that a little bit.
I mean, I read the book one time, so I read it. But I was not into any kind of realism at the time.
Mm-hmm. Not enough magic.
Other than Anne of Green Gables, but that's because I was already familiar with Anne of Green Gables because it was part of my childhood. So when I read Little Women, I was kind of comparing it to Anne of Green Gables.
Which isn't fire to irony of them.
It's not, but I was, you know, like in my head, I was like, okay, do I want to read this book again or do I want to read Anne of Green Gables again? Mm-hmm. So, and Anne would win every time. That's more what I meant.
Yeah.
So I am familiar with the book. And I am familiar with Jo because Jo always, to me, felt like the coolest one. I don't know why.
She was. Well, in the first page, I don't know if you would resonate with this, but in the very first scene of the novel, Jo is quoted as saying, I can't get over my disappointment in not being a boy.
Yeah, I think that may have been why I resonated so much.
A huge kind of conflicting thing about Jo is that she does get married at the end of the book.
Yeah, I remember not liking that, and I think that may have been why I didn't read it again.
Yeah. At one point, Alcott wrote a letter to a friend about that and said that essentially her marriage at the end of Little Women was mostly fan service.
Mm-hmm.
If she really wanted to do pure fan service, she would have married Jo off to Laurie, which is the main male character in the first part of the book, the main ship. Everyone wanted Jo and Laurie to get together. Alcott wanted her to remain what she called a literary spinster.
She should have been.
So she wrote, so many enthusiastic young ladies wrote to me clamorously demanding that she should marry Laurie or somebody and that I didn't dare refuse. So out of perversity, I went and made a funny match for her. And so she ended up marrying her off to like a German professor. Louisa didn't actually like writing children's books. She called it moral pap for the young. But it sold really well.
Gosh, I do love her so much.
She wrote in her journal, 20 years ago, I resolved to make the family independent if I could. At 40, it is done. Debts are all paid, even the outlawed ones, and we have enough to be comfortable. It has cost me my health, perhaps, but as I still live, there is more for me to do, I suppose.
Jeez.
What did she do with that next burst of energy? She got super into suffrage.
Hell yeah, she did.
So she attended the Women's Congress of 1875 in Syracuse, which was one of the early kind of conventions for women. It actually wasn't just a suffrage convention. It was a convention by women to gather and speak about topics in an academic setting that include things like equitable monetary division between husband and wife, higher education for women, co-education of the sexes, women's place in government, etc.
I'm so glad that we have fixed all of those problems and that we have currently like totally equal representation in government.
Yeah.
And they're in 50-50 assets in every divorce.
Mm-hmm.
This was 200 years ago and we are still doing this, people. We are still doing this.
Thank you to the first wave feminists. Like,
thank you so much.
Louisa May Alcott could have done more for, you know, non-white women. It sounded like she got a lot of her values from her mom, and her mom did, like, both of her parents were staunch abolitionists.
Yeah.
When Massachusetts gave women the right to vote for the school board, so that they didn't get full votes.
When Massachusetts stopped blocking women from voting.
And the school board.
I also, let's go on a mini rant, shall we? About the language around
I've never
like,
thought of
feminism
it.
And suffrage and that and, like, giving gay people the right to marry and giving women and black people the right to vote. No. See, the thing is that these are rights that you are denying us. You can't give people rights, so stop saying it. Like, we were being blocked from exercising our rights.
Right.
That's what was happening.
I've never thought about this before.
They stopped blocking us from exercising our rights to vote.
She was the first woman to register as a voter in Concord, Massachusetts. And then
my heart's racing in a justice way.
She was also super into running for exercise.
Oh, nice.
Which is an oddball move on her part back then.
Yeah, because she was a woman.
Mm-hmm.
And women did not run at the time.
That's a man's sport.
That is only... Women can't run. Their vaginas will fall right out of them. Which is...
an actual medical belief that the uterus would fall out of you if you ran. Louisa's sister May, who you may remember as Amy in the books, she died in 1880 from an infection that she contracted after childbirth, which was really common at the time, speaking of bad health for women and healthcare. The baby was also named Louisa, after Louisa.
That's so nice.
But to avoid confusion, she went by Lulu.
Lulu, baby Lulu is so good.
Louisa adopted Lulu and cared for her for the rest of her, Louisa's, life.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, that's so nice.
She wrote stories for her and she collected them in an anthology called Lulu's Letters.
Lulu's Letters.
Right.
Oh my God, that's like Pauline's.
Pauline's Passions and Punishment.
Yeah, and Lulu's Letters.
And Flower Fables.
And Flower Fables.
Oh.
Louisa. I love a good alliteration.
Me too.
Huh.
She became the primary caregiver of her parents in their old age.
It's kind of her.
Yeah. She also was not interested in marriage at all. And
that's
so,
not surprising.
Yeah. By the end of her life, she had her chronic illness, and so it was starting to get worse. She had to take opium for her pain sometimes.
Oof.
And that's really addictive.
And not all that great for you, turns out, to be addicted to things.
Yeah. And she had a weakened immune system, vertigo, some hallucinations.
Yeah, that's rough.
As she knew the end was near, she legally adopted her older sister Anna's son John so that she could leave him her copyrights.
Oh.
She was different from many artists at the time in that she owned all of the copyrights on her books and fought for them instead of just getting a payout.
That's awesome.
Which, when she was first starting... was like not the smart choice because they're like, you'll get a lot of money right now and you need this money. And she was like, nah, my book.
Gosh, she was cool and is cool, right? And deserves our respect and love, in my opinion.
Yes. Agreed. Pro Louisa May
Alcott. Pro Louisa May Alcott.
In her will, she left instructions that income from her copyrights would be shared equally amongst Anna, Lulu, John, and then her other nephew, Fred. Hmm. Equally for everyone, regardless of gender.
That's very good.
She never married. She talked a lot about freedom and said things like, I'd rather be a free spinster and paddle my own canoe.
Mm-hmm.
And I love my liberty too well to give it to any mortal man.
If she'd gotten married, wouldn't all of her assets belong to her husband, essentially?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure. She also wrote about married women and felt that marriage 100% time was like an economic solution.
Of course it was.
Which it was.
Of
but
course
also,
it was.
I think it's telling that she didn't really see that love between a man and a woman could be a thing.
Mm-hmm.
Because she gay.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But also 100% of the time.
But yeah, 100% of the time. Like, if you can't get a job doing one of the four things women were allowed to do, and guarantee that was a life in poverty, by the way, unless you could get, like, a job at a really nice family's house.
Mm-hmm. And even then, if you got married, you would leave that job in your nice family's house, unless you were, like, the housekeeper.
Yeah. But, like, barring, like, if you couldn't get one of the four jobs you were allowed to do, you can't survive if your parents die and they don't leave you anything.
Mm-hmm.
You're fucked.
Yeah.
You have to be married. And that means you have to be owned, essentially,
yeah.
Which is fucking gross.
It was illegal for a woman to open a credit card until the 1970s. That's recent.
I don't even have anything eloquent right now. I'm just so baffled by how much power men have had over women and for how long they've had it.
And how they don't even recognize
or acknowledge it,
mm-hmm,
when it's right in fucking front of them.
Yeah. Louisa May Alcott died on March 4th, 1888, when she was 56 years old. She was buried at Sleepy Hollow Cemetery in Concord on what is now known as Authors Ridge near Thoreau and Emerson.
Ah, that's nice. Her buddies.
Her gravestone is marked with a veteran's marker because she was a veteran.
Yeah.
Yeah. And during her lifetime, she wrote almost 300 literary works.
Wow.
She broke barriers, I guess, is what I meant.
Absolutely did, yes.
And she was gay, probably. Or she just really loved freedom.
Genderqueer. Asexual or any number of,
yeah,
of things. But she certainly did not have any interest in a romantic or sexual relationship with a man. So,
At one point in Little Women, Joe says to Lori, I wish I could love you like you want me to love you. I'm trying, but I can't. And I was like, that's relatable.
Very relatable.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for telling me about Louisa May Alcott. I had no idea that she was an activist. Like,
yeah. Thank you for joining me today, my friend.
Thank you, my friend. It was really, genuinely, I very much enjoyed learning about Louisa. Thank you, as always, to Leslie for our wonderful logo design and for all of the movies that you personally produce with your bare hands.
Mm-hmm. If you wanted to support us, if you like this podcast, there are a couple of ways to do that. One is financially. You could support
with
us
money
on Patreon if you want.
You can do that on patreon.com/vintagelespod, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes, that is correct. How do you spell Les?
Well, you spell it L-E-S.
Okay, so it would be vintage
L-E-S-P-O-D.
If you would like, you can rate and review us on Apple Podcasts, specifically, if possible. We would like to request a 5-star rating, but, you know, you do you. But, you know, please do 5 stars. Thank you.
And if it's less, maybe leave some constructive feedback and not nothing.
Yeah.
Because nothing doesn't help us get better.
That's true.
Another great way to support us is tweeting about us, or telling your friends about us with your mouth hole. You know, the usual ways of telling people about stuff.
Yeah.
You know how to communicate with your friends, I'm assuming.
I trust you.
Also, you can follow us on social medias, all of it as @VintageLesPod on
Twitter, Instagram. There is a Facebook. Don't worry about it. You can also send us an email if you want.
And that's VintageLesPod@gmail.com. Thank you for listening.
I love you.
I love you.
Bye.
I love you, Allison.
Chan, I love you.
I'm glad that we're doing our podcast again.
Touch my hand.
Touch. touch, 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 tou